Morning, everybody, and thank you for joining. Somehow, Fridays we take for granted. Sunday seems like a bigger deal. But okay, in Israel, it's not Sunday anyway. So for me, it's all the same. Okay, I want to do two related things today. And they really are related, although the discussions around each is different. We just read in the Parsha the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and that's obviously an interesting topic in and of itself. So I want to talk about that for a few minutes, but I want that to serve as sort of an introduction to a bigger, what I think is an even more interesting question, and that is our relationship to mitzvos d'rabbanan in general. Lemaisa, we don't really differentiate between mitzvos d'oraisas and mitzvos d'rabbanan. When you open up a Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, it doesn't tell you, okay, these are Hilchos Chanukah, but they're not as important as Hilchos Pesach because they're only drabanan, right? In the Shulchan Aruch, halacha is halacha. You know, there is obviously a difference when you get down to it between drabanans and d'oraisas, but for the most part, if you're a religious Jew, you keep d'oraisas and drabanans. But philosophically, it raises fascinating questions. And that's what I'd like to sort of devote at least, you know, the chunk of our time to today, the philosophic differences, if there are, between d'oraisas and d'rabbanans. But let's start with the parsha that we read yesterday. Okay, and the parsha begins, Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre, V'hu Yoshev Petach Ol Kechom Hayom. Obviously, this is right after Avram got a bris milah at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. And Chazal, in all different ways, quoted by Rashi, say, why did God come? Levaker et acholeh. Right? Avraham was sick, and God came to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. By almost all accounts, not universal, but by almost all accounts, is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Okay? Now, let's ask ourselves, you know, what's the source for the mitzvah d'rabbanan of Bikur Cholim? So it turns out there's a number of possible sources, but most of the possible sources make Bikur Cholim into a d'oraisa, not a d'rabbanan. Watch. Here's the famous Gemara in source number 2 in Sota Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Asks the Gemara, "Mai dichsiv acharei Hashem Elokeichem teleichu." What does it mean that a person should walk after God? Could a person really walk after God? God is an all-consuming fire. What does it mean, walk after God? Says the Gemara, no. The answer is, we're supposed to literally walk after the character traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to imitate God, right? In Latin, fancy, if you ever read the Rav long enough, you come across imitatio Dei, imitating God. V'halachta b'drachav is to imitate God. Now, how do you do that? So the Gemara tells you, most of the examples are in Sefer Bereishis. Third line. Mahu malbish arumim, just like we know that God clothes the naked, dichtiv. Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdamu Lishto Kotnot Or Vayal Bishem. God made clothing for Adam and Chava. Afata Hal Beisharumim. Well, if God did it, so we know it's a good thing, so we should do it. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Biker Cholim. This is our example. God visited the sick. Dichtiv Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. That God visited Avram Avinu when he was sick. Afata baker cholim, you should visit the sick. Hakadosh, third example. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nichem avelim, God comforts the mourners. Dichtiv. Vahi acharei mot Avraham, vayivarech Elokim et Yitzchak bino. After Avraham died, God visited Yitzchak and gave him a bracha. And Chazal say that was nichum avelim. Afata nachem avelim, you too. Last example. End of the Torah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu kavar meit o kover meitim, God buries the dead. Dichtiv, vayikvor oto bagai, that Moshe was buried in the guy. Af ata kvor meitim. So if God does it, we should do it as well. we should bury the dead. Okay, so four examples of things that God did. And the Gemara says, if God did them, we should do them. Now, this simple reading of the Gemara, just to point out the problem, is it's great. God visits the sick. He does Bikur Cholim. We should visit the sick. But then, shouldn't visiting the sick be a mitzvah d'oraisa? What mitzvah d'oraisa should it be? The answer is, it's the kiyum of the mitzvah d'oraisa of acharei Hashem Elokechem teilechu. Counted by everybody as a mitzvah d'oraisa. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa to imitate God. So if that's the case, and we know that God visits the sick, so why wouldn't Bikur Cholim for us be a mitzvah d'oraisa? Why did the Rambam and many other Monei HaMitzvos count it as a drabanan when it seems to be a d'oraisa? So presumably, the simple answer is something along the lines of, okay, there's a general mitzvah of imitating God. The specific acts within that mitzvah are only mitzvahs d'rabanan, but overall, in some way, you know, they qualify or are related to the mitzvah d'oraisa of imitating God. And the better answer probably is that the mitzvah d'oraisa of imitating God is in character traits, not in action. Okay, the point is to make ourselves as people more like God. Now, it's true. To make yourself as a person more like God, it requires you to, from time to time, to do God-like activities. But it could be that the real mitzvah is internal. And, you know, it happens to be that that internal mitzvah is sometimes expressed in actions. Okay. So there is a mitzvah d'rabbanan of Bikur Cholim, and maybe you can make an argument that it's a d'oraisa. Impossible in the current environment not to take 5 minutes to talk about a detail of Bikur Cholim. And that is, do you have to visit somebody who has a contagious disease? Or, you know, should you visit somebody who has a contagious disease? So presumably, you know, all sick people, visiting any sick person, you know, generates some kind of risk. But, you know, in the current environment, this is an issue being discussed. Many years ago, Rav Asher Weiss wrote a piece on this. And then recently, as early as last week, he sort of updated it for Corona. But very quickly, the discussion starts with the tshuva of the Ramah. The background is as follows. The Ramah being the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. In that, you know, this is obviously a significant halachic source. The background was as follows. Reuven rented his house to Shimon. Shimon's wife then came down with some kind of disease. How contagious is hard to know. So Reuven wanted to get out of the lease because he said, you know, his wife has a contagious disease. I would never be able to come to the house again. The Ramah wanted no part of that. I think he didn't trust Reuven. And here's what the Ramah says in the Tshuva in source number 3. Vim hayaki divrei hamaskir, if Reuven, the lessor, is true, then batel kol dinei bikur cholim. Wait, forget the lease. He's just canceled all bikur cholim. He says, ki lo matzinu bishum makom shechalku ben cholei mitdabek. Mitabek means contagious, literally it attaches. The Ramah says, we find no sources that say Bikur Cholim is limited to non-contagious patients, but that you don't have to visit a contagious person. He says, Chutz me le'inyan ba'al ra'atanda asru le'shev b'tzilo. The Ramah says that there was a disease, or there is a disease, that exists sort of in the atmosphere. And there it's true, you don't have to visit. But otherwise, you have to visit, even for a person who has a contagious disease. Now, this is slightly problematic, mostly because it really does seem to be putting us at risk. And second, it turns out, the Ramah himself didn't seem to practice this. Now, in the Tshuvas of the Ramah, in the Bar Ilan that I have, there's like this editorial note, but it's fascinating. See where it says, Tzarech Iyun. We have to ask ourselves what's going on. Shel Rabbeinu, why? Dehare Omer Lahalan Dimachala Zohaita Mahmat Ipusha Avir, Hanahug Beir Hahu, Umatsinu Bimikamot Rabim, Shaniz Haru, Vigam Naktuba Emsaim Shonim, Shaloli Tvashet Machalamita Beket. He says, the Rama himself, who lived through a number of pandemics or plagues, let's say, they had rules to try to stop the spread of the disease. And presumably one of the rules was you can't come in contact with the sick person.
And in Ellie.
Wait, let me just finish. Rabim barchu me'iram be'eti pushavir. Many people ran away. That's what they used to do. When there was a plague, they would leave the city. And not just that, we know this as a fact. Rabbeinu be'atzmo barach mi'krakow l'shidla b'shnat shin ted zayin v'sham chiber perushal Megillat Esther. In the Ramah's introduction to Megillat Esther, he says, I'm writing this under difficult circumstances in a city called Shidlov, because there's a plague in Krakow, and I had to leave with my family. So the editor here is saying he doesn't understand why the Ramah says you would have to do Bikur Cholim to a contagious patient, when in fact the Ramah himself understood the medicine and left Krakow. More, yes.
No, I actually was going to mention, I didn't see that you were going to reference the fact that the Ramah himself had left to go to Shidlov. Okay, we're on the same page for once, Ellie.
You have no respect for me, Jackie. Really. Okay, so the truth is I didn't know it, but then it said it right here. And then I saw the Rav Asher thing. And so Rav Asher says, yeah, people used to describe these diseases as Ipush Ha'avir because they didn't understand the biology. But you know what Ipush Ha'avir means? The disease is not in the air.
It's a miasma.
It comes from the person. You know, it gets transferred. He says, just like corona. So, and then you go one more halacha, because it's just fascinating. Here's how the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch in an unrelated case. Umi she'ein lo etrog, or esrog, as you like to say. Source number 4. You don't have an esrog, it's sukkos. Oshar mitzvah overes. Okay, or any other mitzvah that's time-bound. Ein tzarich lebazbez ala hon rav. Okay, it's Erev Sukkos. There's one lulav left and one esrog left, and the guy says, you know, I have to pay $10,000 for it. Says the Ramah, you don't have to spend all your money on a mitzvah. What's the din? Hamevazbez al yevazbez yoter mechomesh. You don't have to spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. Afilu mitzvah overet. Okay? That's a mitzvah. So I say mitzvah, so you have to spend all your money on to not violate it. Said Rav Asher, I understand there's a limit, right? You don't have to spend more than 20% of your money to get a mitzvah d'oraisa, but you have to put your life at risk to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? It doesn't make any sense. So he, and I think, you know, most poskim nowadays say that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim doesn't really apply or is not obligatory when a person is contagious. Now, there's one other little piece of this, which is, you know, you have these ideas like shluchei mitzvah eina nizokin, right? Or, you know, when you're doing a mitzvah, nothing bad can happen to you. There's all these ideas in Chazal. What do you do with those? And there the explanation seems to be pretty obvious. In the ordinary course, right, if you're going to do Nichum Avelim, you're allowed to feel like you're less likely to be in a car crash if you're being careful, because, you know, you're not putting yourself at risk to do Nichum Avelim. So it ought to be the case that when you're doing a mitzvah, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks out for you. But that's when the act itself is not dangerous, right? But if you decide, as the plane is passing over Ohio, you remind yourself that you have a college friend who's sitting Shiva, so you jump out of the plane, right? Does anybody think that, you know, Shomer mitzvah lo yeda rao, shluchei mitzvah ein anizah is going to protect you? Of course not. So it's the same idea. You know, generally speaking, when you do a mitzvah, you're zocha to some level of protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's when the mitzvah itself is not, you know, is not dangerous. But if the mitzvah itself is dangerous, then, you know, it's not fair to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention, because it's not natural intervention at that point. You're really kind of relying on something akin to a miracle. So therefore, I think it's safe to say, in the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, Bizman Hazeh, nobody advocates doing the mitzvah to somebody who has a contagious disease. Okay, that's the first part of the shiur. That's the introduction. Now let's go on to the bigger philosophy of it. And that is, what does it mean and why does it matter if something is a mitzvah d'Rabbanan or something is a mitzvah d'Oraisa? So we are from Jews and we listen to both equally. So is there a difference? Okay. So let's start from the source for all mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. It's a pasuk in Shoftim, source number 5 on the sheet. And we know this well. It turns out it's both a mitzvah d'Oraisa and it's both a mitzvah asay and a mitzvah los asay. How does it work? So says the Torah, al pi hat Torah asher yorucha va'al ha-mishpat asher yomulucha ta'aseh. You have to do al pi ha-mishpat asher yomulucha. Whatever Bezdin HaGadol / Chazal tell us to do when they decree something, there is a mitzvah ha-Torah to listen to them. And then there's the more famous lo tase. Lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smal. You may not deviate from that which they command you, neither right nor left. Okay? So the source of the power of the authority of Chazal to introduce mitzvahs into the Torah is this pasuk in Shoftim. Mitzvahs asay of al pi ha-Torah asher yarucha ta'aseh, and mitzvahs lo tase'. Okay, so there's no question about the authority of Chachamim. At a later date, there's an interesting discussion, how broadly, can you understand this? Proponents of, let's say, Das Torah point to this pasuk to sort of give rabbis, really, really broad latitude, and we're supposed to listen to them on broad ideas. It's clear that the comfort zone of the pasuk is halacha. The comfort zone of the pasuk is the Bezdin HaGadol. I don't think in the old days people went to the Bezdin HaGadol to ask who they should marry or where they should live. But, maybe that's possible in theory. But in practice, we're talking about halachic authority of Chazal to introduce mitzvahs d'Rabbanan, to introduce gzeros and harchakos and the like. Okay, now, here's the really interesting, or at least I think it's really interesting, and therefore you have no choice but to agree with me because we're on this shiur together. What is there a difference in fact between a mitzvah d'oraisa and a mitzvah d'rabbanan? So let's do it this way. If I could get my cursor to work. Let's do it this way, okay? God says that you're not allowed to eat chazir. You're not allowed to eat pork, okay? What's our sense if a person eats pork? So I think it's universal. The sense is there's something wrong with pork. Now, it doesn't have to be a moral judgment, right? The result of what I'm saying is not that anybody who eats pork is immoral. We don't think that. Gentiles who eat pork, we don't think of them as being immoral. They're not prohibited from eating chazir. We are. But when we eat chazir, God forbid, there's something wrong with eating. It's like the thing itself took on an identity of something harmful, of something bad, almost as if it was moral, right? Once God said that eating pork is prohibited, so pork became something dangerous. I don't know whether you say physically dangerous. Sometimes in Chazal it sounds that way, right? That if you ate, something that's an Isser D'Oraisa, it's mitamtem et halev. It affects you somehow. A little hard to know. But same thing, presumably. If you ate basar b'chalav, okay, now we all eat basar from time to time. We're allowed to. We eat chalav from time to time. But when you put the two together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that mixture is bad. And anybody who eats that mixture is eating some form of poison. It doesn't kill you and it's an exaggeration, but b'cheftza, right? The object that you eat after HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you're not allowed to eat it, that object is like a bad, dangerous, poisonous object. Okay, everybody with me? No challenges yet? Fine. Okay, the question is that also the case for drabanans? So for example, chicken and milk. We all know that chicken and milk is absolutely mutter min haTorah, but it's absolutely prohibited midrabanan. So when the rabbis say you're not allowed to eat of bechalav, what happens if, God forbid, you eat of bechalav? So one possibility is it's the same exact thing as eating meat and milk. Something's wrong with eating chicken and milk. And if you eat it together, you've eaten something that bechevtza is bad, something that bechevtza is dangerous or poisonous or has some bad effect on you in some way. The other possibility is no. Chazal don't have that power. If you eat chicken and milk, you violated the word of Chazal. The aveira that you did is lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. The aveira is not chicken and milk, because Chazal don't have the power to turn chicken and milk into meat and milk. All they have the power to do is to say, you're not allowed to eat it. And if you eat it, the mitzvah that you violated is that you rejected the authority of Chazal. Is this at least clear? Am I setting up two different sides? Good. So there's the famous Nesivos. I only know it because it's famous. I wouldn't know it otherwise. And the Nesivos says as follows. Six. Ve'efshar. De'af de'be'isure Torah. Afilu ochlan bishogeg tzarich kapara. Okay, so now we've gotten to the halachic nafgamina, and I'll say it outside first, and then we'll look inside together, but it'll be easier this way, okay? What happens if, you took out meat, you have a steak, and you go to the fridge, and you took out margarine, and you put it on your steak, and you ate it, and it tasted better than usual, and when you put it back, you realize that you took out the butter, okay? So what's that? That's called an Isser Doraisa Bishogeg, right? You ate meat and milk, but it was Bishogeg. You absolutely didn't intend to do it. Bizmansha based on Mishayakayim, and now, you were Chayav Achatas, right? You were over on an Isser Kares Bishogeg. You have to bring a Karban Chatas. Bizman Azeh, if it happened to us, you would have to do tshuva. You would have a Chiyuv of tshuva, right? It's because a shogeg is an accident, but you bear culpability. Easiest way to do it. Let's do it this way. Think of Hilchas Shabbos, okay? There are three things that could happen with Hilchas Shabbos. One is, God forbid, it's Shabbos, it's prohibited, and you turn a light on anyway. That's Chil Shabbos B'mezid. The second one is, you got up in the middle of the night, Friday night. Okay, it's none of my business why. You went into the bathroom and, you did your business. On the way out, you shut the light. Why? Because it was 3 a.m. and you forgot that it was Shabbos. The answer is, that's Chil Shabbos Bishogeg. Right? It's clear you didn't intend to be Mechal Shabbos, but it's your fault. Because if you were better, you would have remembered that it was Shabbos. So you have to do tshuva for that. Then there's a third level called Misasek. Okay, you're at a Kiddush on Shabbos. This almost happened to me when I was young. You're at a Kiddush on Shabbos. You're reaching for the chalent, right? And some guy, who desperately needs the chalent more than you, pushes your hand out of the way. It hits the light switch and the lights go out. Generally speaking, we hold no need for tshuva in that case because you didn't do anything, right? It wasn't even an act on your part. It wasn't something that you. So no chiyuv tshuva. Okay, now back to us. You accidentally spread butter on your meat and you ate it. That's a chiyuv chatas. That's an Issa Doraisa Bishogeg. So the din is clear. You have to do tshuva. If there was a Beis HaMikdash, you had to bring a chatas, and you have to do tshuva. The question is, if instead of spreading butter on your meat, you spread butter on your chicken. First of all, it doesn't even sound good. It doesn't sound tasty at all. But let's say you did it. Okay? Do you have to bring a chatas or not in that case? Now, that goes to the question of what's the iser that just happened. Okay? So this famous Nesivos, now we'll go back to it, says as follows. The efshar, the after be'isurei Torah afilu ochlan b'shogeg tzarech kapara u'tshuva lahagen ala yisurin. The Nesivos says what we all know. If you were over an Issur D'oraisa b'shogeg, you're culpable. So you have to do tshuva. He says, even if that's true, mikol makom, be'isur d'rabbanan ein tzarich shum kapara u'ki'ilu lo avar dami. But on an Issur D'oraisa, he says, if you put butter on your chicken b'shogeg, you were not over anything. Now, how could that be? Isn't it usur to eat chicken and milk, chicken and butter? So he says, no, teida. Know the following. Da'amrinan be'eruvin, some famous gemara in Eruvin, de'bidirabanan avdinan uvda, v'hadar mosvinan tiyuvta. No, if you have a question in the Rabbanan, it's a weird gemara. I mean, like, do it first, and afterwards you should ask. So he says, how could the gemara say that? V'ilu hayanenash ala shogeg, if you were punishable for being violating an Issur D'Rabbanan b'shogeg by accident, how could the Gemara say, you know, do it first and then ask a question? If doing it first b'shogeg was usur, you couldn't do it. Says the Nesivos, elavadai de'eino ne'enash klal al hashogeg b'Issur D'Rabbanan. Vaharehu leha ochel ki'ilu ochel kishera. Says the Nesivos, if you think that you put margarine on your chicken, you did nothing wrong. It turns out that it was butter. Okay, but you didn't know that. When you spread the margarine on it, you thought it was margarine. Says the Nesivos, there's no tshuva necessary for violating an Issur D'Rabbanan b'shogeg because you didn't do anything wrong. Just ask. Yeah.
So Ellie, a couple months ago when we talked about the shofar on Shabbos, so the Rabbanan says you can't, you rabbis say you can't blow shofar on Shabbos. And you asked if you blow the shofar anyway and you forgot. So isn't that similar?
Very similar. Very similar. The question is, it's very similar, but it's not exactly the same. Let me make some progress and we'll come back. But I agree with you. That's a fascinating comparison. Okay. The question is, why would this be? How could it be? We take Drabanan so seriously. The Nesivos, I promise you, was a from Orthodox Jew who took Drabanan seriously. You know, what does it mean that you didn't do anything wrong if you violated a Drabanan b'shogeg? So hold on to that for a second. And let's move on to really one of the most, a really famous machlokas Rambam and Ramban. It's not really fair because the Ramban wins it hands down, but it's interesting to analyze it. Okay, the Rambam, not that it's for me to decide who wins hands down, but everybody understands this. Okay, the Rambam, when he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos, as we've discussed before, wrote 14 Shorashim, right, foundational principles to decide, you know, what gets counted and what doesn't get counted. And the first one, says the Rambam, is we do not count mitzvos d'rabbanan in the Taryag mitzvos. Because the Gemara says, Taryag mitzvos nitnu l'moshe b'sinai, right? And d'rabbanans were not part of that. Chanukah was not part of that. Purim was not part of that. How does the Rambam know it? Because they happened later in history. Okay? So the Rambam says, as a klal gadol, Drabanans don't get counted in Taryag Mitzvahs. Okay? Then he moves on to make a bigger point. And the Rambam says, notwithstanding that, Drabanans are really, really important. Why? Because every Drabbanan, the Rambam hints at this, but the Ramban goes to town on it. Every Drabbanan comes from the pasuk we started with. Al pi haTorah asher yorucha, v'al haMishpat asher yemru lecha ta'aseh, right? Lo tosur min adabar. So he says, the Rambam hints that basically every Drabbanan is really a Doraisa. Because the Torah says, you know, listen to the to Rabbanan. And if you don't listen to Rabbanan, then you're in violation of the Torah prohibition that says you have to listen to the Rabbanan. Okay, everybody with me? Good. What's the problem with that? The problem with that, says the Ramban, okay, is as follows. The Ramban in the Hasaga, the Ramban wrote, you know, comments on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot. So he wrote his own comments on the first Shoresh. And the Ramban says as follows. I don't get it how the Rambam says that every Drabbanan is really a Doraisa. Says the Ramban as follows. Because if that's true, V'ra'uy lefi hadat hazo lahachmir ma'od b'divrei sofrim. Says the Ramban, if the Rambam's right, then we have to be machmir in every drabbanan shekulam torahim. They're all doraisa. Ein beinehem shum hefresh. There's no difference because there's a mitzvah doraisa to eat matzah. There's a mitzvah doraisa to listen to chachamim. What's the difference? Ve'ein b'torah davar chamur yoter min hashvut shel divrayim. There's nothing more chamur in the Torah than the idea of muktza midrabanan, because muktza drabanan is a mitzvah d'oraisa of listening to Bezdin and a lotase of lotasur. You're not allowed to ignore them. So the Ramban says, okay, well, mechuive krisos, if you get karis, that's worse. Omisos Bezdin, okay. But lo bechaive lavin, shekol divrehem lava asehem. But most isurim in the Torah, the Ramban has turned them into mitzvahs d'oraisa. So what's the problem with that? The Ramban says the problem is simple. V'rabotenu b'chol ha-Talmud omrim hefech mizeh. But in the Gemara, in 100 places, Chazal say the opposite. Shaharei heim danin kol divrei sofrim lahakel. They always say, if you have a suffix, drabanan, it's lakula. Mehem b'isurin, some relate to isurin, kvo shamru, what we know. Sveika de oraisa lechumra, usveika de rabbanan lekula. Everybody with me, says the Ramban. When you're a little kid, you learn this. The difference between de oraisas and de rabbanans is you have a suffix in a de oraisa, you have to be machmir. You have a suffix in a de rabbanan, you're allowed to be mekel. Says the Ramban, according to the Rambam, there's no such thing as a suffix in a de rabbanan. Why? Because every drabanan is really a doraisa. So what in the world does that mean? Right? It's a very strong question. And I used to think that, you know, I came up with a great answer to this, but it turns out everybody knew it before me. And probably when I think about it, I probably heard it and then I turned it into my own answer. But it matters not just in theory, but in practice. And then we'll see sources for this, but it's something I've realized over the years, and it's a fascinating thing, and maybe it will resonate with some of you. If not, know that it resonates with me. And that's the following. Let's take an example. Maybe it's not the best example, but it's a good one for me. Okay? It's Motzei Shabbos. You're exhausted. You stayed up late learning, whatever. Okay? And now, okay, maybe it's just guys who do this. Okay, it's 2 a.m, and you go, you know what? I know that, you know, Zman Kriya Shema is, you know, 9 a.m. But, you know, it's a drabanan. So, you know, I'll get up later. I'm not going to set my alarm. I'll set my alarm for 11. And, you know, I'll daven then and I'll say Shema then. So what just happened? To my mind, what just happened is the difference between what the Rambam meant and how the Ramban understood him. And I'll explain. I don't think the Rambam meant that every de'oraisa, every drabanan is a d'oraisa. I don't think that's what he meant. What he meant to say was, the Torah commands us to listen to the Rabbanan. Okay? What's the Isser d'oraisa? The Isser d'oraisa is to reject the authority of Chachamim. So, if you oversleep on a Sunday morning and you miss Man Kriya Shema, so however you understand, it's not a great example for technical reasons, or you miss Zman Tefillah, you were mevatel a mitzvah d'rabbanan. You violated some mitzvah d'rabbanan. But if you say, and this is something that happens all the time, because nobody likes to be a bad guy, so you rationalize it. You go, you know, the rabbis, they really introduced way too many rules. Okay? I know the rabbis said that you have to daven by 4 hours, but, you know, I'm going to daven when I feel like it. When you reject the authority of Chazal, now you're in violation of an Issa d'oraisa. And the Issa d'oraisa is to recognize and obey the authority of Chazal. Do a different example, okay? You know, you have to travel on Purim. It's okay. God forbid you have to travel. You don't have a Megillah. Turns out your Megillah is puzzle. You miss Kriyas HaMegillah. You are Mevatel a Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. But if you say to yourself, you know what? I'm going on a trip. Megillah is just Drabanan. So I'll miss Megillah this year because the rabbis don't really have the authority to make me do these things. Now you're rejecting the authority of the rabbis and rejecting the authority of the rabbis according to the Rambam. That's an Issur D'Oraisa. It's not the act itself, right? So come back to our example. If it turns out that you ate chicken and milk bishogeg, so you didn't do anything wrong. But if you say to yourself, you know what, I don't know if this is butter or margarine, but what's the difference? It's just drabanan, and I understand that the rabbis came and prohibited chicken and milk because they were worried that I might eat meat and milk, and they made a good, but you know, I don't need that. And the rabbis had no reason to do that, and they overstepped their authority. That's an Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Tasur Min HaDavar Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin U'Smol. That's the problem. Isser D'Oraisa is not the act. The Isser D'Oraisa is rejecting the authority of Chachamim. And if you do that, then you're over an Isser D'Oraisa, but not what the Ramban thought. The Rambam didn't mean to turn every Drabbanan into a D'Oraisa. What the Rambam meant to say was, If you reject the authority of Chazal, then you're in trouble. And let's admit it. Oftentimes we do this casually because we don't like to feel like bad guys or bad women, in Debbie's case. Okay? So instead, you know, we say, oh, and I don't want to fill in the blanks here because I'll offend somebody. But we say to ourselves, I understand that, you know, I'm not supposed to do this thing, but it's only Drabbanan. And, you know, the rabbis, if they knew me, they would. That's problematic. It's much better to say, and don't quote me on this, and Henry, maybe you can't post this. I think it's much better to say, you know what? I know that this is Asur, but I have a Yetzirah. You know, I can't get up in the morning. I know that it's wrong, but that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. Okay, I'm a weak person. Chazal said, don't do it. I did it anyway. I'm a weak person, but I'm not rejecting their authority. It's when we rationalize. It's true when we try to be so frum that we say, no, I know why they did it, and that gzera doesn't apply to me. In my opinion, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. And that's something we should try to avoid, because according to the Rambam, that's an Issur D'Oraisa. Now, okay, let's come back to this idea of the Nesivos, the idea that every drabbanan doesn't create an Isser really, or a mitzvah. It all goes back to the fact that the mitzvah is to listen to Chachamim. The mitzvah is to listen to Beis Din HaGadol. This is a fascinating Yerushalmi in source number 9. The Yerushalmi says as follows, Hakol modim biyom tov harishon shehu omer al netilas lulav. Everybody agrees that on the first day of Sukkot, the bracha you make is Asher Kiddushan Sam Sivanu Al Tilas Lulav. The first day is, of course, a mitzvah d'oraisa. Ma palginan bishar kol hayamim. So what's the machlokes with about the other days where the mitzvah is only drabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, what's the bracha? Al netilat lulav, like we paskin. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amar, no. The bracha is al mitzvat zikenim, meaning the bracha is that I'm listening to the Beis Din HaGadol. The mitzvah on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, according to this shita, is not to take a lulav. The mitzvah on Chol HaMoed Sukkos is the same mitzvah as on Chanukah and Purim, and that is to listen to Beis Din HaGadol. The question is, what did Beis Din HaGadol tell you? Well, Beis Din HaGadol told you to light a menorah on Chanukah and to read Megillah on Purim and to take a lulav and esrog on Chol HaMoed. And Yoshua ben Levi says that should be the bracha. Al mitzvat zikenim. Now, we don't paskin that way, but to a certain extent, we do paskin that way. If you look at source number 11, here's the Rambam talking generally about brachos. It's a great Rambam. Says the Rambam, V'chein kol ha-mitzvot shehei midivrei sofrim, all drabanans, bein mitzvah shehi chova midivreihem, kigon mikra megillah v'adlakat ner b'shabbat v'adlakat ner chanukah, whether the drabanans, bein mitzvot she'enan chova, kigon eruv unetil shadayim, right, you don't have to make an eruv. If you do, you make a bracha. Mivarech al hakol, kodem la'asiyato, you make a bracha over la'asiyato, like all brichas ha-mitzvot, asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asot. Right? Al neti or al, okay? Now, says the Rambam, wait. V'heichan tzivanu b'torah, where in the Torah does it say that you're supposed to light a Chanukah menorah? The answer is no place. So how we make a bracha? Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. God never commanded us. Says the Rambam, shekatuv ba asher yomru lecha ta'aseh ar pasuk. No, the Torah wrote, you have to listen to Beis Din HaGadol. Nimtza inyan hadvarim v'hatza'an kach. Turns out, this is how you're supposed to understand the bracha. Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav, shetziva bahen lishmoa me'elu. We're commanded by God to listen. Lehadlik ner shel Chanukah. O likrot et ha-megillah. V'chein shar kol ha-mitzvot shemidivrei sofrim. Says the Rambam, what's the bracha? The bracha is asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. What did God command us? He commanded us to listen to Chazal. Shetzivanu lehadlik ner shel Chanukah. Chazal then commanded us with that authority to light Chanukah candles. So I think this is exactly the point that the Nesivos made, and I think it's pshat in the Rambam, and that is every drabbanan is essentially the same mitzvah. The mitzvah is to listen to the drabbanan, to the rabbanan. Now, how you listen to the rabbanan? Well, that depends. Sometimes it's through this act of a mitzvah. Sometimes it's through that act of a mitzvah, right? Not the best example. A mitzvah of kibud av va'em is to listen to your parents. Sometimes it's to bring them a tea. Sometimes it's to pick up this, to do that. There are different ways. But it's all the same mitzvah. So I think the Rambam says the same thing. And we don't have time. It's also a meshach chachma, the general idea. But I think that's the pshat. When I don't eat chicken and milk, the lotaseh, or the mitzvah that I'm fulfilling, is listening to Chazal, who told me not to eat chicken and milk. Okay, now, let's go back. There may be one difference. I'll just say this. People point this out. It's an interesting topic. There may be a difference between drabanans. And we won't do the Rambam inside, but just to give you the idea, it's possible that overwhelmingly, you know, even the Rambam agrees that each mitzvah drabanan is to listen to Chazal. But it could be that when the Rabbanan expand on a deoraisa, so for example, says the Rambam at the end of source 12 in Perek Dal Lachal Alpha of Hilchos Mamrim, Kigon Shehitir HaChametz B'yoma Arba'asar B'nisan B'sha'ah HaShishit. Min HaTorah, Chametz is only also at the beginning of the seventh hour. So if a Zakein, you know, challenged Chazal and said, you're allowed to have chametz in the sixth hour, even though midraban you're not allowed to, or he prohibited it bahana in the fifth hour when it's mutter, it could be that when you're talking about the rabbanans that are built on the oraisas, meaning Chazal didn't make up the Isser Chametz, it's an Isser d'oraisa. They expanded the period of time in which that Isser applies. So it could be that in that case, the prohibition is on the Chevtza, is much more substantive than might other mitzvahs drabanan be. And in fairness, you could make the argument, I just realized, maybe my example is a bad one. Maybe the prohibition of chicken and milk might fall into this category. It wasn't created by Chazal whole cloth. It's a geder to the pre-existing mitzvah d'oraisa of lo tivashel gedi b'chalei limo. So it may have been a bad example, I admit. But at least within the Rambam, the general approach seems to be that the prohibition that each mitzvah drabanan is really the same mitzvah, and that is you have to listen to Chazal. Okay? If you act, coming back to the Nesivos point, if you accidentally violated the mitzvah, you didn't violate the mitzvah because you didn't disregard Chazal, you didn't disrespect Chazal, you didn't reject their authority. You made a mistake. So on a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mistake is an aveira for which you have to do tshuva. But on a mitzvah d'rabbanan, it's just a mistake. It's like somebody pushed your hand into the light switch on Shabbos. You don't even have to do tshuva. Okay, last piece to come back to where we started. If you recall, the Gemara in Sota that we looked at the beginning said there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of lihidamos bedarchei Hashem, to imitate God. Mahu afata, so mahu mevaker cholem, God visits the sick, so you have to visit the sick. And I asked, and then everybody, the same question, everybody asks, right? Well, why doesn't that become a d'oraisa? The same exact issue appears in the Rambam, but the Rambam counts a different mitzvah. It's famous and it's fascinating. Source number 13, says the Rambam, Perek Yudal Halacha Aleph, of Hilchos Avel. And this will be the last point we make. It's a standalone point, but it's a good one. Says the Rambam, Mitzvat Asei Shel Divrehem Levaker Cholim. Rambam says it's a mitzvah d'rabbanon to visit the sick, to lachnis hakala, ule lavota orchim, ule hitasek b'chol tzarchei hakivura, laseita lakatev, to carry the body, vile lech lefanav, to walk in front, vile spod, vile achbor, vile kvor, to dig and to bury and all those things, to make a bride and groom happy, to support them. Now watch. Right? We say that Mishnah every morning. These are gemilut chasadim that you do with your body. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. Now here comes the point. Says the Rambam. Even though I just gave you a list of mitzvot d'rabbanan, harehein bichlal v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, they are part of a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's a pasuk of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. What's that mitzvah? Kol hadivarim she'ata rotzeh she'ya'asu otam l'cha acherim. Anything that you would want others to do to you, meaning if you're sick, you would like to be visited, so you visit other people. Okay, so again, the Rambam says, here's a list of mitzvahs drabbanan, including bikur cholim. Interestingly, he doesn't tie it at all to the mitzvah of lihidamos bedarchei Hashem, but he ties it to the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Now, the obvious question is, well, if visiting my friend is a mitzvah d'oraisa of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, then it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Why does the Rambam describe it as a drabana? And I think the answer is obvious. The answer is as follows. There are two ways to do the mitzvah of bikur cholim. One is out of a sense of obligation. Sometimes we fall into this trap. It's a mitzvah. These people are sitting shiva. I know there's a mitzvah of of Nichum Avelim. So I'll go do the mitzvah. This guy is sick. I know it's a mitzvah, so I'll go do the mitzvah. But there's a better way to do it. And that's to do it out of love. Or I'll say it my way, which might be wrong, but it's how I think. That's to do it in a way that I would have done it even if it wasn't a mitzvah. It's great that it's a mitzvah, but I love my fellow Jews. And I want them to feel good. And I want to do a mitzvah. I don't want to do the object of the mitzvah. Here, I forgot, it's a famous story. I think it's a Reb Lachman story. It sounds like one of those things. That he was in the hospital, and some guy was walking by, and he walked by, and he double take, and he came through him. He said, you know, I was here visiting somebody else, but now that I see you're here, I'll chop a mitzvah. And he said to him, what am I, a lulav? Right? The point is, there's doing the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah, which sometimes feels obligatory and feels kind of, you know, you do it like you take a lulav. It's a mitzvah. I'm visiting you because it's a mitzvah. I think the Rambam says it's something much higher. You do get it. You know, if you do bikur cholam or nichum avelim that way, it's no question you get a mitzvah derabbanan. But there's a greater mitzvah behind it. The greater mitzvah behind it is I love Jews, and so I'm doing it. Or I know that God thinks this is valuable. He does things like this. I want to be more like God. So therefore, I'm doing it, right? Where the act itself is not the end. In the first explanation, there's a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, so I'll go and do the mitzvah. In the second explanation, Bikur Cholim is a means to an end. Yes, the act of Bikur Cholim is a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. But if I do it for the purpose of loving other Jews, if I do it for the purpose of making myself more godlike, then there's a mitzvah d'oraisa on top of it. Then it's a double word score. You don't just get the mitzvah d'Rabbanan, you get the mitzvah d'oraisa also. Okay, that's an idea that I think has truth to it. You know, does it explain this exactly? Hard to know. Quick summary. We did the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. God visits Avraham. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah to imitate God, and therefore there's a mitzvah drabbanan of Bikur Cholim. We discussed whether Bikur Cholim applies to a contagious patient. For the most part, the answer is no, because that's a dangerous situation. It's unfair to ask God to protect you from doing something that you know is dangerous. Okay, by the way, almost certainly you could call on the phone or Zoom or what have you. Then we talked about the more fundamental issue of the difference between d'oraisas and drabbanans, and the idea that an iser d'oraisa makes the thing bad. An iser drabbanan is just a prohibition to disregard what the rabbi said. The nafgamina being whether you have to do tshuva for violating an iser drabbanan b'shogeg, right? The nesivo says if you ate chicken and butter, you don't have to, by accident, you don't have to do any tshuva, because there was nothing wrong with that, because you weren't disregarding what Chazal said. We saw that the Rambam thinks that all brachos on drabbanans are basically Asher Kidshanu Mitzvotav, you, God, commanded us to listen to the Chachamim who asked us to do this. That is, of course, and we'll end with this, the explanation for why it is that not every mitzvah drabbanan, according to the Rambam, becomes a mitzvah d'oraisa. The answer is the Rambam says, if you reject the authority of Chazal, that's an Isser d'oraisa. But if you just don't read Megillah because you're in a rush, because you forgot, if you just don't like Hanukkah candles because you're on a plane, if you just don't, you know, if you didn't know about chicken and milk, that's not an Isser d'oraisa, that's an Isser d'rabbanan. The only way you get, and again, the point being, when we rationalize away d'rabbanans, we run into trouble, because that might be the Isser d'oraisa of rejecting the authority of Chazal. But if we're not rejecting the authority of Chazal, in the end, if we violate a mitzvah d'rabbanan, it is and remains the violation just of a mitzvah d'rabbanan, not d'oraisa. All right, that seems like plenty for now. Everybody have a